in my interview, I had it so crystal clear where I wanted to go. And I knew my strengths and I knew what I had to offer. What others did for me was they listened. Others in the organization, the leader that I directly report into has had a profound impact on my life because he listened. And yeah, we all listen, but do we really listen? Do we really, really, really capture what the person is saying and understand the power that they have when they're truly determined behind something? I don't think so. We're running a million miles an hour. We're like, okay, this girl, she tells me she's bilingual. She lives in Phoenix. Her career aspirations are to drive our strategy into Latin America. People would be like, okay, awesome, got it. But you have your quota in the US. Like, yeah. Okay, right? Like, okay, got it. And the reason why I say it's had such a profound impact on my life is because he actually listened. And not only did he actually listen, he realized that there was an opportunity for us to address an untapped TAM, total addressable market, matched my skill set. And he not only moved me into the role, but he moved himself into the role too. So it's like, do we really listen? Because if we do listen, there's so much magic behind it. And so in the last 2 years, I've made a really conscious effort to listen to everybody around me. And it's specifically those that I've identified as being top talent and recognizing what is their skill set? What are their strengths? And how do we play to their strengths?
Welcome to Manager, a podcast about the experiences of people leaders and how we can enable them to lead engaged, healthy, and high-performing teams. I'm Kamaria Scott, your host, and I'm thrilled to have you join us as we learn, lead, and succeed together.
Welcome back, friends, to yet another episode of Manager to Manager. In each episode, I try to bring you authentically wonderful people, leaders who have a lot to share that you can use in your own personal styles to help your teams be successful. This week is no different. I am super excited to introduce you to Anna Montoya. She is someone that I met through a colleague at a conference. I heard so much about their wonderful work culture that I just knew they had amazing people leaders who worked there and brought that culture to life. And so I pushed and prodded until she finally gave me the name of one of their wonderful leaders. And you're going to love the conversation I have with her today. So first and foremost, welcome Anna to the show.
Hi, good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. Let's just jump right in. I would love for the guests to learn a little bit more about you. You have an amazing background, an amazing journey into corporate America. So let's just start there. Tell the guests a little bit about you and how you got to where you are today.
Interesting path, to say the least. But thank you again for having me. I have a really unique background. I'm the first generation American, Colombian American, actually. My parents moved here and I was born in Portland, Oregon. And I say a unique path because I played soccer all my life and had the tremendous privilege of playing with the Colombian national team starting when I was 15. And through that, I've traveled the world. I've had the privilege to play on the world stage. I played in 2 World Cups, the Olympics, London 2012. And then through that, I played soccer at the University of Arizona on a full ride. After I hung up my cleats, that's where I started in corporate America. I always laugh about saying this story, but I'll never forget. I played in the Olympics. That was London 2012. And about a year and a half later, I had graduated college and I moved to Phoenix, Arizona. And here I was, right? Like, okay, I have to figure my life out. What in the world am I going to do? I had reached the peak in my career and I knew that I wanted to make the transition into something along the lines of sports broadcasts and really wanted to work at ESPN. And long story short, I went down that path, but I quickly found that I would not be able to pay my rent. And so I found myself working in technology with IT services. And so I say it's jokingly, but here I was playing on the world stage in the Olympics. And then a year and a half later, I was making 80 calls a day, convincing IT professionals to take the job ultimately that I was pitching them, which is really funny, right? You think about being on ESPN and being in the Olympic Village to picking up the phone and relentlessly working in technology sales.
I mean, talk about a career change and a life pivot. There's so much to learn from that. And I bet that probably ties into your tenacity and how you show up as a leader. And I do want to just dive into that just a little bit. I'm also wondering if you learned a lot about teamwork and about leading others through that experience. Did it shape you at all thinking about how you would have later approached how you show up as a leader?
Completely. I wouldn't be where I'm at without soccer. Every time I get into a place like, hey, where do I go from here? What do I do? How should I approach this? I go back to the field. I always go back to the best coaches that I've ever had, which have been so fortunate to be coached by some of the best in the game. And I think about what would they have said to me in that moment? And I always apply that to my current assignment.
Yeah, I can imagine that. Just a few weeks ago, my colleague and I were in the sale kickoff and we were talking to sales leaders and we were talking about coaching. And three of them, as we were saying, you know, how many of you coach and why do you coach? There were three gentlemen sitting at a table and they started talking about coaching, but not work coaching, but sports coaching. And they were again make the analogy and the shift from how they coach their son's little league teams or soccer teams to how they coach their employees. And I think having the experience probably makes you better as a people leader because you have that experience to draw on of being coached and how that affects the outcome.
Exactly. I always have to go back to this because sometimes you want to bounce ideas off of other leaders or have a conversation before you go and deliver what you need to do to somebody on your team that isn't always the easiest, and you don't have that time to go speak to a leader that you respect and look up to. I always go back to soccer. And it's been the compass for me day in and day out.
I love that. So you are no longer cold calling people trying to get them to take positions. So tell us a little bit about your role today and the kind of work you're doing now.
Yeah. So yeah, no longer cold calling, but it did teach me everything that I do know today. I also go back to those moments. Right now, I'm accountable for a global sales team and our go-to-market strategy in Latin America. Just to take a step back, I think what I should do is bring everybody up to speed on how I got to 80 calls a day to now. I spent the first 7 years of my career working in IT professional services. It was truly staffing, right? Really, why in the world would an IT professional look to make a move in their career? And what we used to call the hearts and clouds, right? Why would somebody want to get after it? And what would deter them from making a move in their career? And so I started in staffing and ended up on the professional services side, really focused in the financial services industry. And I knew that I really wanted to get into the software space. My career goal and an objective was to take my skill set from a sales side and from a cultural side. I'm bilingual. I speak English and Spanish. I was passionate about growing into the Latin America area in a region and utilizing my skill set to capture revenue. And the organization that I was at did not have that opportunity. And I remember vividly, I said, I'm so grateful and I feel so privileged to have had the opportunity to work here. It has really created the foundation and it will enable me to do whatever I desire in this world from a business perspective and from a personal perspective. However, at this moment, the organization can't provide me with the opportunity to capture my dreams and desires and growing into Latin America and selling into the region. And I remember I said that the last day when I was saying goodbye. And to zoom forward to where I am today, it's incredible. I said that and I'm living it, right? That was 3 years ago when I made a change and came. I'm now working in software. It's financial software, selling into the office of the CFO for all regulatory requirements, SEC-wise and SOX, et cetera. But really, as you say that, it goes into the power of manifestation and really knowing what you want and knowing your skill set and how you can impact others through that. And so to answer your question directly, through knowing where I wanted to go and how did that match to my skill set, it's led to this incredible opportunity of where I'm at today and leading a global sales team in Latin America. I'm currently accountable for the entire region. So from Mexico to Argentina and the entire commercial strategy that rolls up under my responsibility. And I'm accountable for delivering on that strategy quarter after quarter. The beauty of this is this region and where we're at right now didn't exist before I came to this organization. And in my interview, I actually found the piece of paper because I'm currently moving. So I found the piece of paper that in my interview, my last question was, does this organization have a strategy in Latin America? Yes or no? And then based off of it, I wrote two different answers. I said, if not, Is there an opportunity to build this strategy? And is there appetite from senior leadership to do so?
I love that.
And look where we are today. 3 years later, we have truly come in and created an entire strategy from nothing to now having 70 customers in less than 2 years.
Which is quite amazing. I mean, like growing into a region where they did not have any knowledge of your organization and being able to say that you have 70 customers for your platform is truly a testament to your tenacity. And I think also what stood out to me as you and I were prepping for this conversation was the self-awareness of matching your skill set to what you really wanted to do. And I think I asked you, you know, you 70 customers in this a short amount of time is an amazing feat. What do you think was your secret to success?
Knowing where to focus and where not to focus.
Knowing where to focus. And I think you even added, when we talked about it, you added knowing how to align my team, knowing how to do for my team what someone did for me. So that's
exactly
people saying, like, what do I want to do? And what are my skill sets? I think you've been, you know, gave me, and I pay that forward. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So what I mean specifically by that is in my interview, I had it so crystal clear where I wanted to go. And I knew my strengths and I knew what I had to offer. What others did for me was they listened. Others in the organization, the leader that I directly report into has had a profound impact on my life because he listened. And yeah, we all listen, but do we really listen? Do we really, really, really capture what the person is saying and understand the power that they have when they're truly determined behind something? I don't think so. We're running a million miles an hour. We're like, okay, this girl, she tells me she's bilingual. She lives in Phoenix. Her career aspirations are to drive our strategy into Latin America. People would be like, okay, awesome, got it. But you have your quota in the US. Like, yeah. Okay, right? Like, okay, got it. And the reason why I say it's had such a profound impact on my life is because he actually listened. And not only did he actually listen, he realized that there was an opportunity for us to address an untapped TAM, total addressable market, matched my skill set with an untouched TAM. And he not only moved me into the role, but he moved himself into the role too. So it's like, do we really listen? Because if we do listen, there's so much magic behind it. And so in the last 2 years, I've made a really conscious effort to listen to everybody around me. And it's specifically those that I've identified as being top talent and recognizing what is their skill set? What are their strengths? And how do we play to their strengths? How do we take those strengths? And how do we identify what our gaps are? And how do we align them? And not only do that, we work, it's a for-profit organization. So how do we match it to drive revenue, but serve others at the same time?
And that's where I think a lot of times we as people leaders miss the boat. Because you said something really interesting, which was we think about our goals, our objectives, what we need to accomplish for the organization. And we almost move people around their cogs into what we need them to do. And where we might miss the opportunity is to listen enough to know, is this what this person wants to do? Is this what their skill sets are? And my first love in life is employee engagement. It's the notion that people can really love their jobs, love the work that they do. And part of that is alignment. Way back, there's a company called Black and White that used to have this Model X philosophy, which is basically you really hit the sweet spot in employee engagement when it's a win for the organization, it's a win for the employee, and you've tapped into their personal motivators and align exactly. That to what needs to happen for the organization to be successful. And that part in the day-to-day of leading people, I think gets lost because we forget to stop and we're talking about performance reviews and goal setting. We talk about the work all the time. Here's what you need to do. But we might miss the part of the conversation where we say, what do you want to do? What part of this? Let me lay out what we have to get done. And you point to the part of it that lights you up and let's align you to that.
Exactly. And then what's the revenue, right? I think that's what people forget. In making a little change, it's also being aware as a leader of what's the gap from a revenue side and how can you drive additional revenue with that person, right? And matching their skill set to that. And also light bulbs go off because it's their their desire, their want. They want to be there. And so something that on our team is there is no team in the company that has more fun than us. There's nobody else that's going to, as we say, gozarlo, that's going to como bailarlo. You come in and light it up. Have fun.
Yeah.
If you're not having fun and if you're not enjoying what you're doing, then that's a miss on all of us. That's a miss on us understanding where you want to go. What are your career aspirations? How, and mapping you with that.
Yeah.
And so you can tell instantly if somebody isn't a match because they're the only ones in the room when you get together for your QBRs or whatever it is, that they're just like, you know, they're just flat.
Yeah. And I think there's something to be able to make the connection between how you get to that increased revenue, right? Because when people are at their best, you're getting more tenacity, more creativity, you're getting more innovation, you're getting more of the things that drive you towards them wanting to solve that problem when people are aligned. And I love that because we want people to have a good time. But I love that you said, and we are businesses, we want them to make money. It's okay to say we want a win-win scenario for both the organization and for the individual. But knowing how to tap into that person and how it's going to get you there. So I always say to people, do you know, can you identify what your team is like on their best day? So do you know, like when I get Camaria on her best day, I am getting creativity I did not expect. I am getting a product that I didn't ask for. I am getting an insider research that she did because she's curious about the client. She's curious about what it is that makes them tick or their problem points. I'm getting all of this when she's at her best. And those things are exactly what we need in order for this to happen. So for people to really understand the connection point of how does that increased engagement turn into revenue is really important. Can you share a little bit about that or how that works for your team?
And you know, it's interesting what you say that. It's like, oh, you know, this is what the best day looks like for us. I work for a leader that has really made it very crystal clear on what good looks like. And that has transcended to me and the way that I've led or I am leading our team at this moment. And so, you know, if you look at it, right, it's what does good look like from a quarter perspective and having that crystal clear and really defined numerically of what does good look like, right? What expectations do we need to be at as a team? What does that look like from an individual perspective? And then how do we map that from a monthly perspective? How do we map that from a weekly perspective? And then what does good look like on an individual daily perspective?
And I think what I have found in knowing what good looks like is that it always gives me a starting point for a conversation when they're not at good.
Yeah.
Like, and it's not necessarily a conversation of corrective action, but it's a, I know what Anna's 100 looks like. And I've been seeing Anna at 70 for maybe the past week or two. Maybe I need to inquire and figure out what's going on with her and have a conversation so I can understand where is she today and why are we there? And then I would imagine that's where the coaching comes in. That's where the let's have the conversation to get to how do we get you back to not 100% all the time, but how do we get you trending back in that direction?
Yeah. And gosh, I feel so blessed to have had such incredible leaders along the way that have enabled me to see coaching and leadership in a different lens. And one of those to what you said is I worked for an incredible leader maybe probably 5 years ago or so. And I found myself in that 70% for a while. It's hard. It's just like soccer. You know, you can't, we're human. There's external factors that impact that 100%. There are so many items that impact us on a daily basis. And I remember he told me when I was at that 70%, he played baseball professionally. And he was like, Anna, you know, how is this any different than when I was just swinging out every single time? Like, and he was talking about himself, right? He's like, it's because I was gripping the bat too tight. I was overanalyzing everything. I was hyper-focused on the perfect swing. And I was like, oh, yeah, dude, I think you're right. And so I, you know, at that moment, it stuck with me because I still talked about it to my team all the time. I'm like, you're gripping the bat too tight. Loosen the bat up. Like, have fun. realize you're smart enough. I'm always like, you got this job for a reason. You've hit 100% of your quota and 150% multiple times. Loosen the grip on the bat. Take a step back. Relax. Take a day and come back. And it was that moment that that leader that I worked for, it impacted me, right? We never know what you say to somebody and how it impacts them. But 5 years later, here I am talking to you about a leader that I worked for, talking about his baseball career. And it's still resonating with me.
It's the impact, right? I think as people leaders, we're always thinking about how does what we say and how does what we do create an impact on our teams? And are we leaving an impact that helps them to get better? Are we creating an impact that maybe is actually impeding their performance? There's so many ways that it can affect them. When we think about leaders that have influenced our careers, to me, that is the epitome of I met someone and it had an impact. I think I mentioned to you that I had a previous guest early on who was my COO. And in the very short amount of time that I got to experience working for him, it changed the trajectory of my whole career. The challenges he gave me and the way that he challenged me to think about things became almost like the blueprint for how I solve problems, how I work through things, what I'm looking for in helping leaders get better. And so in our conversation, he was like, I never knew I had that impact on you. And that's the best part.
That's like me. I should call him after this. I should tell him. I still remember exactly where we were sitting. I remember everything about that moment. And it's because I was at that 70%. And so, yeah, that's a moment that I really think about. And also, it's so interesting. Like, I don't know how many people of your audience are working with a team that is relatively out of college or more on the junior side. But I go back to the organization that I worked for out of college. It has really created the blueprint for everything that I do on a daily basis. I don't know if you're familiar with force management or command of the message, but that framework, man, I went through that nearly 10 years ago. And I still go back to that every day that I'm like, okay, wait, where should we go from here? And it's the guide. It's the guiding light of, okay, this is how we will quantify why the customer should pay a premium and why, not should they, but why will they pay a premium to solve X business problem, to mitigate risk, drive revenue, whatever it may be. And so I always think of that. And these are things like that I think at the moment, I didn't really understand how valuable they were. The organization I worked at, you become very fundamentally sound on the mechanics behind where should you focus your time and why not. And so I really encourage whoever, is listening to this or that knows somebody who finds themselves in a similar situation, that the impact that you're making on a more junior sales professional in teaching them the mechanics, it will impact their life. Mm-hmm. As long as they're in sales, right?
Yeah. So I think it's an interesting place to kind of stop for a minute, because I think what I hear you saying is the impact on your team, when you're thinking about what impact you want to have, especially if people are early in their development, is how are you planting the seeds for them that are going to help them grow? That are going to be the foundation for their future success and help them overcome the challenges. Because I mean, like I'm not in sales, but I equate that to the first time someone said, I'm going to bring you into our executive meeting for you to present something. And I remember I raised my hand, and I remember Larry saying to me, do not ever raise your hand to like, but I love that because, what he really taught me was how to own the room. I think about people who we teach them executive presence in a course, but I think about the leader who brought me into a room full of executives and was like, go for it. And then coached me afterwards. And those are the sounds.
Yeah.
Right. Cause it's, and that's the what we're giving people if we really think about it. There's a bazillion classes we can teach them. But when you have someone that's in a specific field, helping them pin down those mechanics. And I'm kind of seeing the alignment now between the mechanics of a sport or the mechanics of sales or whatever it is you're doing. Your role as a leader is knowing them well enough to figure out how you help them pin those mechanics down and then flourish later, putting them into practice.
Exactly. And it's interesting. There's so many moments that come to my mind of the incredible leaders, just as you're saying that. I think you said his name was Larry. Said, hey, don't raise your hand. It's incredible. So I instantly thought of four different scenarios that leaders have coached me. And so that's what we all want to do, right? It's how can I now pay that forward to my team? The same leader that I've been referencing, I remember when I first started working here, I had a C-level meeting with a CIO, and I've been selling into the C-suite for years at that moment, but we needed to do a true boarding session, and it wasn't going to take 2 hours, but I put 2 hours on the calendar. And I remember saying, hey, we have 2 hours on the calendar, definitely not going to take that long, but I wanted to block it off for new space. And the feedback after it changed my life. Why in the world would you say to a CAO that you're not going to take that long? Isn't that person one of like the most important people in that entire organization? Right. You better walk into that room like you own it, and that your value that you are driving in that meeting is so incredibly valuable to that person that they did block out and they're accepting a meeting with you for 2 hours. So you better show up like you are Jeff Bezos in that meeting and you're change that person's life.
Yes. And these are the little things along the way. These are the little coaching moments. These
exactly.
are the lessons that you can't teach that in a class. It is the personal investment of knowing and investing in them, because you can't learn that in a class. You have to kind of learn it in along the way. I know we are almost on time here, but I wanted to just touch on a little bit more of the impact. So I think so much of, and you mentioned having a younger team, so much of the development and so much of what we're hearing now is people facing imposter syndrome. So, you know, I think about going into that executive meeting and being like, I don't belong here I belong here. And that impacting so many people in their development, thinking about how much time you put into knowing what their good looks like, into matching them with what they're good at. How do you think that impacts their perceptions of themselves and their abilities to do well in their role?
Okay. So I love that question, because recently I have a newer team, right? We're building this strategy currently from the ground up. It really is. I started in the job. I got it off the ground. We built a huge team. And really what I've seen behind that is I have a few newer individuals on the team, and they're senior sales professionals. And the beauty behind it, they're there for a reason. They want to be part of this strategy that we're building. That's an emerging market from the ground up. They left huge organizations to join what we're doing. So they're here for a reason. They want to be here for a reason. So that's number one. Second, I've been really getting to know, like, what do they want to do? What do them and their families want to do? What are their aspirations? What are they, you know, how much money have they made? What are the limitations that they've had in their lives because they haven't made, you know, greater than? Right? And how does that impact them and their families, et cetera? And so what I've gotten to the point of is, okay, well, one, you're the only person that's in your way of getting to where you want to be. Two, how would you feel, right? You can accomplish that here. I'm telling them, because I've done it myself. Every single one that I've done, I'm like, you can do that here. If I can do it, you can do it. And secondly, it's how would you feel if you accomplish what you're saying? How would you approach every single day? How would you dress? How would you show up? What would your energy look like? What would your messaging look like? And I let them talk, like, okay, great. So why aren't you doing that today? Why aren't you already living like you already did that? And I have gotten some pretty blanks there. And they are all incredibly talented. Every single one of them. I learn something from each of them every day. And what they said back to me is like, oh, you know what? Yeah, walk in here like I own this meeting. Walk in here like I knew exactly what I'm talking about. I would have a little bit of, like, you know, in soccer terms, a little swag about who I am and what I'm doing. I'm like, exactly. So what are you doing there right now?
and how does I get the moment? And then what happens after that?
That goes into nobody has more fun than our team. Nobody, right? You get into a conference room, you want to be there. You're like, okay, this is... You know, it's such a unique opportunity, because you're building a strategy from nothing with one of the most powerful tools that's in the market for the office, you know, for the line of business, governance, and ESG. And so it's such a unique and exciting team to be a part of. Yeah, it's hard to be new. It's hard to get into an emerging market. But what I've noticed is, like, we flip our mindset that we're already there and start approaching every meeting like that. It shifts the dynamic.
Yes, because I think what you're really doing is you're visioning with them. You're visioning with them to help them arrive there mentally, and then you're coaching them to really get there in reality. And I'm wondering if it helps you, going back to the really knowing your team and bringing your story full circle, does knowing them on a really good level, their lives, their families? Does it help you coach them to that destination?
Of course. I mean, we've all gotten to know each other really well. When you're on a plane and on the road with somebody for 3 weeks and you're in Bogota, Colombia, and then you're in Buenos Aires, Argentina, and then you're back in Miami together. And, you know, you invite the family out so that we all get to know each other and all have dinner together. You understand that what the person is envisioning and what they're saying and their goals, you see it, right? And then I'm more invested.
There's something about really seeing people. You said that earlier. And I do think that is the key. That is the magic sauce to having a cohesive team, to helping people be successful, that understanding of them as a full picture. And I love how you said, even as you were thinking about command of the message and your earlier things of where do I go from here? For me, it always feels like the where do I go from here depends on them. It depends on what I know about them. It depends on where they are. It depends on what their goals are, where they might be struggling, their perceptions of themselves. And I'm always on this mission to be aware and to really see, because I feel like I can't know where to go here without knowing them.
And you know what? People talk about those aha moments or light bulbs. A few weeks ago, I was in Buenos Aires, Argentina, and I was sitting there and overlooking Puerto Madero, which is beautiful. And the guy on my team says to me, "Man, what else would I rather be doing right now?" I was like, "True, me too." And he's like, "I love my job. I love this. What would I rather be doing? Selling software out of my house in Miami?" I was like, "Here, dude, same here." And so it's been really fun. And it's good to hear it from somebody else every once in a while, because it's really hard, right? I'm talking about rainbows and unicorns and a mindset, but the daily grind to get to there, it's really challenging. It's really, really complex to build a strategy from nothing to something. And now how do you take it from something to being the leader in the market within the region? And it's very complex from a tax perspective, from a legal perspective, from a language perspective. And so that moment of him saying to me, "What else would I be rather doing?" They also impact me, right? The team also, they impact me more than I think that they know. And I tell them all the time, but I tell, like, you know, I am younger, right? I tell them all the time, like, "Wow, you and your family, like, really, you really inspire me. The way that you treat your kids, the way that you carve out time and still manage to drive the value that you do at work, like, thank you," right? So it's not always a one-way street without a doubt.
What jumped out to me when I heard you say that was, I'm always looking for signs. I just feel like the most important thing is for a leader is being able to scan the environment. You're always looking for signs. You're always, again, looking for information to know where to go. And I think when I hear things like that, to me, it's like, it's working. It's, we're in a good place. It's how I know, going back to, are they at 100 or are they at 70? It helps me to know where they feel they are. And I'm listening for signs that say, this person feels good, or this person is highly engaged, or this person feels like they're on top of their game. And so when they volunteer things, when I hear things like that from my team, that's what it says to me. It says, whatever I did to get us here, keep doing it. If I hear somebody like, "Oh my gosh, we're in this beautiful conference room," and they're like, "Oh, I'd rather be anywhere from here," that tells me whatever I did to get us here, stop doing that.
Right. But it's so easy to latch on to the challenging. Man, there's some days that I'm like, "Oh my gosh, I don't know how I'm going to figure this out." And for me, it's more on the legality, language, nuance, taxes, growing a business internationally. But I always come back to, we have a choice, all of us, every day. We're going to latch on to the beauty, the good, the how we're impacting each other. How did we move the rock? Well, wow, I moved the rock in this way, rather than, "Dear Lord, have mercy. What in the world did I get myself into?" And so it's a choice.
Yeah.
It's a choice every day. Thank you so much. I'm so passionate about this topic in paying it forward, because so many have paid it forward to me. Yeah. And I'm almost listening to myself and thinking of all these people that have have impacted me so profoundly. I'm going to call them all today and say thank you.
Oh, I love
you. Right? You never know. You never know what some, like the guy, the baseball comment, right? I still think about that all the time.
It's important. Something people, like as I said earlier, they don't always know the impact. You go along with your career, you go to another company, they don't know. But speaking of pay it forward, if you would, go ahead and pay it forward for other people, leaders who might be not as far on their journey as you. So what final kind of advice or guidance would you share with other people, leaders, on how to really see their teams, how to maybe align them to their passions, and just really how do you support them to being or arriving at that wonderful, good place that you describe?
Yeah, I say number one, and I know most of the audience here work for organizations that have professional development or something along those lines internally. And I think a lot of us are really hyper-focused on the revenue at hand and oftentimes forget to look at the tools that we have internally and how to utilize them. And, you know, if it's something along the lines of an IDP, an individual growth plan, or doing some type of skills assessment, especially younger in my career, that helped me tremendously to have more of a framework to follow of instead of just asking the individual, you know, what are your goals? What are your aspirations? Where do you want to go? What are your strengths, right? It's utilizing the framework and the tools that we have internally in our organizations and defining them and measuring them, and then in turn, reviewing them with the person. So when you're first starting, utilize that as a crutch. I remember in some of them, I'd turn my camera off, like hover over the notes because I didn't really truly understand. And I was fortunate enough to be in a leadership role at a really young age. And so that would be my advice, number one, because now, right, and having these conversations, I don't need the guide or I don't need an individual growth plan to know what are the right questions to ask. How would you measure that? How do you break that down from a quarter down to a daily perspective? But I did need it.
Yeah.
I needed it for years and years and years. And so that's my first suggestion, is lean into your organization and figure out what is the professional development program internally, and seek alignment of senior leaders within your own organization or outside, somebody that you really look that you want to reflect in how you're leading, and pour into them. What I mean by pour into them, like you get to know them and you share with them what your goals and your aspirations are and where do you need help? And I can guarantee you they'll pour back right back into you. So figure out, you know, a framework, find a mentor, and just stay hyper-focused and do not let it up on the gas. It's going to be really hard, especially if the leader's younger and the team is younger. That's really hard. And you need counsel from a senior leader that has done it before and done it really well and has driven that impact.
I love that. I still hear the theme of focus on the fundamentals and know what good looks like. Even through that advice, I love that because that really is to your point about, gosh, if I'm starting off and I know I'm using the frameworks, I'm hanging on the frameworks, eventually it'll become second nature to me.
Yeah.
Like I know the mechanics.
Totally. You know, some people, an IDP, I don't know if you're familiar with it, individual growth plan. Mm-hmm. IDP, the organization I work at right now, that's not a term. Nobody knows what an IDP is, but the organization that I did before, they do. And it taught me how to understand where in the world is this person at? Where do they want to go? How do we measure it? And how do I align myself to that person to help them get there?
And it creates that shared vision. You know where you want to go. I know where you want to go. We both know where you want to go. And now I know how to help you. I love that. I love that. This has been such a great conversation that we could probably be here for hours and hours. There's so much.
Exactly.
But I know that you have to get back to your team. So thank you for joining us. And if anyone wants to reach out to you and just get to know you better and learn the techniques that you use with your team, what's the best way for them to do that? That'd be LinkedIn?
Yeah, find me on LinkedIn, send me a message or get in touch with you and and you'll put us in touch. But I'm happy to help in any way. Again, I feel so fortunate to have had so many incredible leaders in my career that I feel it's my duty to pay it back.
Well, on behalf of all the listeners, thank you, Anna, for joining us. And again, you guys have heard me say this before. You're probably hear it again. This time, if there is a leader who has poured into you, who has helped you develop as a people leader, take some time this week to reach out to them and just say thank you. I think when it comes to people leadership, we don't say enough. We don't get enough.
No. Thank you.
Right.
Write them a note, right? Some people still go in the office. Write them a little note and put a $10 Starbucks card in there and say, hey, thank you. I wouldn't be here without you. And that goes a really long way.
A really long way. So acknowledge a people leader who has really made an impact in your growth, in your career. You can't do that enough. So on behalf of Anna and myself, thank you for listening to Manager to Manager, and I will see you next time.